Thanks, Hans, for introduction. Yeah, this is a joint work with Rob Wiggins. Today I'm going to talk about the information theoretic point of view or information theoretic approach to the study of symmetric time evolution. So the type of problem we are interested in to study is like finding the consequences of symmetry of dynamics. So suppose the only thing we know about the dynamics is that it has a specific symmetry. For example, it has a rotational symmetry. Then we are interested to know that what can we deduce just by knowing this fact, the fact that your dynamics has rotational symmetry. So maybe the best known example is the Noether theorem. If we know that if the system is closed, the time evolution is unitary, and you have some symmetry like rotational symmetry, then we expect that angular momentum, for example, is conserved. But you can ask, is it all the consequences of symmetry in the case of closed system dynamics? And what about open system dynamics? What can we say about the consequences of symmetry, rotational symmetry, or a general symmetry in the case of open system dynamics? So in this side, I'll try to address this set of questions. So this is the outline of my talk. First, I clearly define what I mean by symmetric time evolution. Then I'll talk about the notion of asymmetry of a state, and I will define asymmetry monotones as a measure of asymmetry of a state. Then I'll talk about the information theoretic point of view to notion of asymmetry and symmetric dynamics. Then I present an example of these asymmetry monotones called whole-level asymmetry monotone, or in fact it's a family of examples. Finally, I focus on the closed systems and I look at the application of this asymmetry monotone in the case of closed system. So let's start by fixing the notation. Here, when I say group G, I mean that they have a point. Large G represents the symmetry group of system. For the purpose of this side, you can always think that's the rotational group, but the results are general for our G. And assume this UG is the representation of group, a unitary representation of group. So for the group element G, for specific rotation, you represent the rotation on the inverse space by this unitary operator. But again, I mean, it can be arbitrary unitary representation of arbitrary group. Now, when the symmetry transformation G happens on the state rho, it will transform rho to the UG rho, which is defined as this unitary reactive here and this U dagger G. So this is a super operator which describes how, for example, the state, the density operator rho, will be transformed under rotation described by G. But as I said, I just remind you again, I always talk about rotation, but the results are general. It's not just about rotation on the group. Now, consider time evolution E, as denoted by... So the time evolution maps your density operator to another density operator, E rho. And here, I'm not restricting my attention to necessarily unitary closed system time evolution. It can be open system dynamics. Now, what does it mean that time evolution has symmetry? For example, that's rotational symmetry. You have a question? Oh, sorry. What does it mean that the time evolution has symmetry? It means that the order of these two superoperator commute. It doesn't matter if you first transform the state rho to UG rho and then apply this time evolution, or first apply the time evolution and then do the transformation. So if you apply the transformation to E rho, you get UG E rho. And if you apply time evolution to this state, you get EUG rho. Now, if these two are equal, these two maps are equal for all rho, for all states, and for all rotations or for all group elements, then I would say the this sine evolution is symmetric or is G-covariant. This is true for all group elements and for all states. Okay, so now we are interested, I mean, this is a mathematical definition of what I mean by symmetric time evolution. And now I'm interested to know what's the consequences of this fact. So again, we know that in the case of closed system dynamics, rotational symmetry implies like conservation of angular momentum. It implies that angular momentum is conserved in all directions. So, it doesn't matter if it's quantum mechanic or classical dynamics, it has the same implication. But in quantum mechanics, when you say operator is conserved, like operator of angular momentum is conserved, it not only means that the expectation value of that operator is conserved, but also expectation value of any function of that operator. So if, for example, the rho, state rho evolves to sigma under rotational invariant time evolution, then for angular momentum in any direction, you can say trace of the expectation value of all powers of angular momentum in all directions are conserved. But this is the real consequence of the conservation of an operator. So, and now I have this fact about closed system dynamics. I repeat those questions. Now I'm interested to know whether this type of constraint or this type of equation, does it include all the possible consequences of symmetry or not? Can I put more constraint on the final state of system? Maybe I can put more constraint on the final state of system because of symmetry. The other question is that, what about open system dynamics? This Noether theorem doesn't tell you anything about open system dynamics. Okay, so I will answer the second question later in my talk. I will start with the second question. I will start the second question. So we are interested to find about the consequences of symmetry. So symmetry, if you restrict yourself to symmetric time evolution, then if you look at the space of all density operators, you find that some transformations are possible and some transformations are impossible. It's impossible, for example, under a rotationally invariant time evolution to evolve a rotationally invariant state evolve to a state which breaks the symmetry. So you have you will find some kind of structure or in fact equivalence losses in this way on the space of all states. So for example, in this picture, rho to sigma is possible by a symmetric time evolution. This transition can happen, as I denoted in this way. And this transition cannot happen. So now you can say intuitively the property of the state which tells you whether the transformation is possible or not, that whether you can transform rho to sigma or not, it's specified. To answer this question, you need to know the asymmetry of the state. The idea is that these symmetric time evolutions cannot break symmetry. They cannot generate asymmetry. So if you want to generate state sigma, you need to have sufficient amount of asymmetry at your initial state. So state rho should have enough asymmetry to generate a state sigma, because if you don't have enough asymmetry, you cannot generate that by symmetric time evolution. So in this way, you see the notions of asymmetry of a state and amount of asymmetry or measures of asymmetry are clearly relevant to answer this type of questions. So, how? We need to quantify this notion of asymmetry of the state. How we quantify that? By we introduce the notion of asymmetry monotone. So we say state. You say a function f from states to real numbers is asymmetric monotone if it's non-increasing under this transformation. If rho can be transformed to sigma by a rotational invariant map, or in general a G-covariant map, it implies that the value of that function should be more than the value for the final state. The value of function and the initial should be more than the value for final state. This kind of this is exactly the notion that asymmetry cannot be generated by symmetric time evolution. So if f is a measure of asymmetry, it shouldn't be increased. And what happens if rho and tau can be transformed together? If there exists a transformation, which a G-covariant transformation or a rotational invariant transformation, which transforms rho to tau, and also there exists a transformation which transforms tau to rho, then according to this definition, it's clear that in this case you should have the equality. F of rho should be equal to F of tau. So in particular, it means that in the closed system dynamics, when your time evolution is unitary and reversible, these asymmetry monotones should be constants of motion. These asymmetry monotones should be conserved under time evolution. Now the question is that we haven't defined this notion. This notion is defined by a paper by I will show you the citation of the paper. Now the question is that how you can find these asymmetry monotones. For example, in the case of rotational, when you have rotational symmetry, is angular momentum an asymmetry monotone or not? You may expect that expectation value of angular momentum is an asymmetry monotone because in the closed system dynamics it's conserved. And I told you that in the closed system dynamics an asymmetry monotone should be conserved. On the other hand, if you have a state which has non-zero angular momentum, then it's clearly it's breaking symmetry. So it seems that the expectation value of angular momentum may be a good measure for measuring the amount of asymmetry. But it turns out that asymmetry, the expectation value of angular momentum is not an asymmetry monotone. It's easy to see by, I will show you an example that shows the, in principle, the angular momentum, the expectation value of angular momentum can be amplified with a rotationally invariant time evolution. Consider this environment. This is an unpolarized environment. Then I bring a spin half system with a stage row close to this environment. Then in principle, the interaction between this spin half system and this, first of all, this time evolution is rotationally invariant because environment is initially rotationally invariant. The interactions are, for example, spin-spin. You can assume it's rotationally invariant. So now, with this rotationally invariant time evolution, in principle, it's possible to induce a large amount of polarization or angular momentum on the environment. So in principle, it's possible to end up with the situation that for this environment or part of the environment has a large amount of polarization. It doesn't forbid, you can easily show that it's possible, isn't it? So in principle, the angular momentum of system can be amplified. So here, I was talking about open system dynamics. Here, this is an example of open system dynamics. This is my rho, and this is, you can think of all of this system after time evolution as sigma. And you can see in an open system dynamics, it's possible to amplify angular momentum. But, I conclude that angular momentum is not asymmetric. Yeah.
So just to clarify, what's happening, there must be angular momentum with the opposite side.
Yeah, because finally, if you look at the whole system, you should have conservation of angular momentum. As a closed system, angular momentum should be conserved. So that's why I look at a part of the environment. Okay, now the question is that now look at this system, what can be an asymmetry monotone? What can be a quantity which is non-increasing in this type of time evolution? Because in principle, it's possible to induce infinitely large amount of polarization. Now here, the idea of information theory arrives. You can say, the idea is that if you think about the spin half in Z direction or in any direction, you can think of that as a pointer which specifies some direction. So, and as a spin half system, it's actually a noisy pointer. You can, if you perform measurements on this pointer, you cannot estimate direction very well. It cannot define the direction very well. So you can quantify this amount of information, this fundamental limit on the amount of information of system. You can quantify that. And then the idea is that under this type of process, the amount of information should not be increased. Because your time motion doesn't know anything about direction. If you have, you can get some information from this final state, it should be in the initial state of system. So in the other words, to explain what's the idea of this information, you can say if I had the rotated version of this input state, it was like u zero, then the induced state would be u g sigma. Now, the point is that the distinguishability of the initial state, rho, u g rho, the distinguishability of these two should be more than or equal equal to the distinguishability of final state. You cannot increase distinguishability by amplifying. That's the whole point. Amplifier doesn't increase information. So here I will show you an example of these monotones. There are many possible information measures you can imagine. I have chosen one specific one, which is called whole-level measure or whole-level chi quantity. I don't show you the definitions, but here I will show you which kind of asymmetry monotone you can get, so to have a sense that how these asymmetry monotones look like. So if you find these whole-level asymmetry monotones, the asymmetry monotone associated to whole-level quantity, you get something that I explained in this slide. Suppose PG is an arbitrary probability distribution over group G. Then define this Torling operation. This is a operation. It's a map from density operator to density operator. It's map state nu to this mixture of rotated version of nu. So the weight is given by this probability distribution. Now suppose, consider this map. Now, you can show using that idea of using whole-level information measures, you can show that if rho transformed to sigma by a G-covariant map, by a time of rotation and invariant time evolution map, then for all probability distribution PG, this change of entropy S of GP rho should minus S of rho should be larger than or equal to S of GP sigma minus S of sigma. So you can think of that as a, so for example, if your state is rotationally invariant, this map doesn't change your state at all, because under all rotations, UG, nu, U divergence should be equal to nu, and then this map exactly maps the state nu to nu. So the value of this change of entropy will be zero. So this is a quantity which can quantify the amount of asymmetry of the state, and it's now increasing under rotationally invariant time evolution. So yeah, this is the paper by Vaccaro, Jean Vaccaro, and Solmi, and Howard Weissman and Jacobs. They first define this notion of asymmetry monotones, and if you look at the PG where it's a uniform distribution, you get the asymmetry monotone they have defined there. So I rewrite this equation in this way. I've just changed the order of this thing. Now, you see, here you can interpret this equation in this way, that the entropy of final state minus the entropy of initial state is bounded by this value, S of GP sigma minus S of GP rho. So it means that you can find a lower bound and the minimum change of entropy. And the idea is that if you can amplify some effects, like if you can amplify, then this would be a large number. For example, if you amplify a spin-half system, then this will be a large number. And this means that you have produced a lot of angular momentum. You need to produce a lot of entropy in your system. So, in the other words, amplifier should add noise to amplify. I mean, this showed that. Right? Now I will focus on the closed system dynamics. On the closed system dynamics, the first question is that does Noether's theorem, we know that Noether's theorem applies to the closed system dynamics, but you can ask, does Noether's theorem capture all the consequences of symmetry? It turns out that for pure sets, the answer is yes. I told you that the type of condition you get from Noether's theorem is that if you can transform psi to phi under rotational invariant time evolution, unitary rotational invariant time evolution, then the condition would be something like this expectation value should be equal for all k. This is the content of Noether's theorem, or all the implications of Noether's theorem. Now, you can prove a theorem like this, that if there exists a unitary V such that V commits with all transformation, and we transform psi to phi, then this equality should be hold, and should hold. And if this equality holds, then there exists a unitary which commits with all members of group and transforms psi to phi. Now, what's the relevance of this theorem? The idea is that if all of this condition holds, if you look at all the consequences of Noether's theorem, then you can easily see that then it implies this one holds. And if this one holds, then you know there exists a unitary, it's rotationally invariant unitary, which does this job, which transforms psi to phi. So it means that you cannot put any more restriction, because there exists a rotationally invariant unitary which is consistent with all of these, constraints. Okay. Now, what makes a set? I told you, Noether's theorem tells you everything, all the possible consequences of symmetry for pure set. For mixed set, interestingly, it turns out that the answer is no. Noether's theorem cannot capture all the consequences of symmetry. I will show you a simple example here, a counterexample that shows Noether's theorem cannot capture all the consequences of symmetry. Suppose the state rho, the mixed state rho, is defined in this way. This means that I have 2 degrees of freedom, or I am looking at two degrees of freedom of system. The first one is a spin half degree of freedom. The second one is a degree of freedom which is invariant under rotation. I label the value of this degree of freedom by Q1 and Q2 here. Now, this state means that I have a mixture of being the first degree of freedom being in z off direction, spin half in plus z direction, and the second degree of freedom in Q1, plus being in down direction z minus z, and the second degree of freedom in Q2. Now, the second state is exactly similar to this one, but here, the first, here you had the state was in plus z, here is in plus x. So it's in plus x, the complex combination of plus x Q1, and minus x Q2. So you see, now the spin degree of freedom is correlated with a degree of freedom which is invariant under rotation. Now I claim that in this case, in this counterexample, Noether's theorem cannot capture all the consequences of symmetry. Let's go through the properties of this example. The first property is that there exists a unitary which transforms rho to sigma. If you look at this, there exists a rotation. If you look at if you rotate this system around y, rho will be transformed to sigma. So in principle, rho can be transformed to sigma. And if something forbids this transition, it's just only symmetry. If you didn't have the restriction to symmetric time evolution, the transition was possible. The second property is that if you look at this, if you look at these two, it says all the constraints, all the conservation equations implied by Noether's theorem holds for these two. I mean, for if you look at these two, the trace of rho lk is equal to trace of sigma lk for all k and for all directions. But still, it's not possible to transform rho to sigma by a rotational invariant time evolution. So, although Noether's theorem does not forbid this transition, Noether's theorem cannot forbid this transition, but this transition is impossible. So you need, it means that symmetry, I mean, there are some consequences of symmetry that we couldn't capture. I mean, we cannot forbid this transition by Noether's theorem, and we need to be able to forbid that, as I told you, because this transition is forbidden. It's impossible to transform rho to sigma. And the way you can see that is just by using, for example, those Holloway symmetry monotones. We know that in the closed system dynamics, in a rotationally invariant closed system dynamics, this quantity should be conserved. Now you just choose one specific PG. For example, I choose this specific PG, which is probability distribution, which is uniform over all the rotation around it and is zero for all other rotations. I choose one specific PG and I check whether this value is conserved or not. And I see the value is different for rho and sigma. So by checking the conservation of Holloway symmetry monotone, I can forbid this transition. So this transition is forbidden by this, but it's not forbidden by Noether's theorem. And so you can get more. Okay. Now, I will conclude by emphasizing on the most important thing in my talk, which is information theory and information theoretic approach is useful for symmetry, a study of consequences of symmetry of dynamics. Here I just show you an example, but you can, I mean, there are much more to say about the consequences of symmetry of the consequences of information theory about symmetric dynamics. In particular, you can say, as for example, classical information theory is drastically different from quantum information theory in some situations. There are examples that show you that classical asymmetry is drastically different from quantum asymmetry in some situations. Then I showed you that how you can quantify the notion of asymmetry from this asymmetric point of view. I showed that Noether's theorem can capture all the consequences of symmetry in the case of closed system pure states, but it cannot capture all the consequences of symmetry in the case of closed system mixed states. And in fact, conservation of asymmetry monotones can tell you more. Yeah, finally, this is the last piece of it. I just want to say that we always say, we always use this notion that some asymmetry in principle can induce a large amount of asymmetry. But now, when you quantify that, it might be, I mean, it's possible to look at this problem more carefully and say, is it really possible if you have some amount of, very small amount of asymmetry, is it possible to generate a large amount of asymmetry or not? I'm not saying that, I don't claim that you can necessarily say something non-trivial in these cases, but I think it's worth to check. Thank you.
Okay, a few questions?
Just a comment at the end about, well, okay, so the Noether's theorem can be applied to classical systems as well.
Yeah.
Could there not be... There not be an analog of this mixed pure distinction?
There is nothing specific in this example about quantum mechanics. You can easily imagine the classical version of this example.
The mixed state example.
The mixed state. The main point here is not the quantum. The main point is that here you have correlations between the rotational degree of freedom and the invariant degree of freedom. And the Noether's theorem is blind to this correlation. Noether's theorem just looked at to your rotational degree of freedom. But asymmetry monotones are not blind, and they see this correlation.
It seems there is a small problem for your expression. Your pure, but in quantum mechanics, for a single system, the state is always pure, but only for the open quantum system, the state is mixed. Or you are usually talking about the example of some individual quantum systems.
So, but you're not in
so the quantum state should describe an example, not a single system, not a single quantum.
No, system. I mean you can always imagine that. I mean, you can imagine, for example, your system is entangled with another system.
Yeah,
the general state, the overall state is pure, but...
Yeah, the should be not closed.
No, I mean, the notion of closed is defined in terms of dynamics. A dynamics can be closed or open. And a closed dynamics is a dynamics which you can, for example, describe by Hamiltonian or a unitary. It's not like interacting with the outside or, I mean, it's not interacting with environment, we can say.
So Noether's theorem can't resolve the information for closed systems for closed systems and mixed states. In the second case where you showed this Halevo capture more, does it capture everything? Or do you expect it to capture everything or
I don't have a proof that it's expect. I have an example that shows it cannot in principle capture everything. So for general case, but you may say under some situations, for example, some knowledge about your Hilbert space. For example, if your Hilbert space is restricted to one specific J or some specific angular momentum. I don't know, but in general, you can easily find examples that. So I mean, a very quick example is that all the asymmetric monotones you get for example, a state plus state and state minus state, they are the same. And the idea is that the information this state is transferring about direction is exactly the same as information this state is transferring about direction. They have different angular momentums, but the information in principle is the same.
Okay, I think we need to